Now, after the Levaya, that night, the man who had watched the man go into the flower pot store, the man who had seen his friend go away from the Levaya and buy the flower pot, he was very, very upset. It was bothering him so much, he decided he has to go to his friend's house and tell him that he did the wrong thing, that he goes in the middle of the Levaya and buys a flower pot to go home and plant flowers. And he goes over to his friend's house, and his friend lets him in, and he starts to tell him off, how can you go away from your friend's Levaya, and you go just to buy a flower pot and go home to plant flowers? What kind of a friend is this? How do you do a mitzvah? And the man who had bought the flower pot looks back at his friend and he says, sit down. I think I have to explain to you a little bit. Maybe you don't know what happened. It's not just that. And this is what happened. Now listen to this very closely. He says, in the morning, when I heard the news that there's Levaya, of course I said, I have to go. It's so important. This is my friend who passed away. Of course, I will not do anything else in the world but go to his Levaya. So he says, in the morning when I found out about the Levaya, I got ready to go. I got ready to go. I know this is for the kavod of my friend, and I felt so sad. And I had planned to go from the beginning until the end, all the way to the Beis HaKfaros, just like you did, just like the other friends in the family. After all, this is the kavod for the mace, to go to his Levaya. But as I was getting ready to go, all of a sudden I received a call from a hospital. Not only a hospital, but a hospital of special diseases. There are certain hospitals where very sick people go. And close by, there is such a hospital that very, very sick, very, very sick people go. What's this call? Another friend of mine, all of a sudden, is calling me from this hospital. He has a terrible sickness. It is a contagious sickness. That means that he could, chas shalom, give it to other people. And his doctor told him that he immediately must go to the Hospital of Special Diseases to be admitted, that they should treat his sickness and take care of him. And he's in a great danger of life, and he must go immediately to be admitted to this hospital, because there they have the medicines and the doctors to be able to take care of him and help him. And if he doesn't go right away, chas v'shalom, the worst thing could happen to him. And he's calling me. What happened? Listen to this. The rule of this hospital, now this is not a Jewish hospital, the rule of this hospital is that whoever is admitted to this hospital is only on the condition, only if they do this, that everything that they have with them, they're not allowed to bring in, because the sickness could also be on these things. Everything has to be burned. Their clothes, their shoes, anything that they have must be burned, because the sickness can go on this stuff too. So only if it's burned do they get rid of the sickness. When they go into the hospital, they give them brand new pajamas, brand new slippers, and they will arrange brand new clothes later when they leave the hospital. But they cannot take anything into the hospital. Nothing at all that they've touched before are they allowed to take in the hospital. Now, kinalach, this friend that was going to the hospital is a yid, and he had his tefillin. Kinalach, he just said to the people, burn my clothes, burn my shoes, I don't care, but I need my tefillin. I have to put on my tefillin. They said, you can't even bring your tefillin. and because they were your tefillin and you were touching them with your sickness, they also have to be burned, or else we will not let you in the hospital. The man said, no, Chas Shalom, you can't burn my tefillin. They're halik. They said, but we can't let you in the hospital then. The man didn't know what to do. He doesn't want to burn his tefillin, Chas Shalom. But then if he doesn't do it, they're not going to let him in the hospital. He didn't know what to do. If he doesn't get admitted to the hospital, his doctor told him he could die, Chas Shalom. Now, Kinalach, he asked the hospital, he says, look, I understand your rule, but I can't burn my tefillin. There is one thing I could do. Now listen to this carefully. How do they get rid of shemais, or old tefillin that, you know, have fallen apart, and parshiois, and old mezuzahs? You know how they get rid of them? They bury it in the ground. And just like a person that goes and is buried in the ground, this is how they do a levaya. They bury the person in the ground. So out of kavod for the shemois and for Hashem's name in the shemois, they bury it in the ground. He says, will you allow me, instead of to burn the tefillin, Chas Shalom, to bury it in the ground? There's a field right next to the hospital. I'll bury it in the ground. They said, yes, we will allow you to do that, but you have to do it before 12 o'clock. You have to be admitted before 12 o'clock. The man said, oi, it's getting late. I want to bury the I'll have to bury the tefillin, but I don't want to just put it straight into the ground. It won't be nice. I want to put it in something. He called up his friend. This was the telephone call. The friend picked up the phone right before he was going to the levaya, and he heard about what was happening. And the friend from the hospital told him, maybe you can buy me a flower pot. I'll put the tefillin in the flower pot, and I'll put the tefillin with the flower pot into the ground. That will be more covered for the tefillin. But you have to get to the hospital before 12 o'clock, because I have to be admitted before 12 o'clock. Do you think you can do it? He says, oi, I was on my way to a levaya. If I go to the whole levaya, I'll never get there before 12 o'clock. He says, but if I don't get admitted to the hospital before 12 o'clock, they won't admit me. And you know what might happen to me? Oy vey. So the friend made up his mind, look, he'll go and do as much of the mitzvah of going to the levaya as he can, and leaving himself enough time to be able to buy the flower pot and run to the hospital and go to his friend, that he should be able to take care of his tefillin and be admitted to the hospital. So he went part way to the levaya. When he got close by that gardening store, he went about the flower pot. Why did he buy the flower pot? To go and just plant flowers? Or to help his friend out of kavod for the tefillin, and of course, out of helping his friend in his dangerous situation? Then he walked back on the road. Was he going home to plant flowers? No, he was going to the hospital, which was that direction. He got to the hospital, and they took care of whatever they had to take care of, and his friend was admitted, and Baruch Hashem, the doctors and the medicine, and of course Hashem's bracha helped him, and he had a refuah shleima. That's what happened later. But the main thing is, Kinalach, the friend who was upset, who saw the whole thing, now he saw a few things. First of all, he said, he saw his friend did a big mitzvah. He wasn't just doing Chas Shalom his stomach thing to go buy a flower pot. And then he said, now I really see what it says in Pirkei Avos, in Mishnayos, in the first Perek. Have a don as kol ha'adam l'chav schus. Judge every person in a scale of schus, of good, of merit. You see a person doing something, you could judge it in a not nice way, and you could judge it in a nice way. You really don't know exactly what's going on. You have to judge it in a nice way. And this is the perfect example. At first, how did he judge it? He saw his friend going and doing something. He didn't really know what was going on. At first, it looked like, oh, this is terrible. Was that what was really happening, or only what was going on in his mind? It's only what he was thinking. Later on, he found out that exactly the same thing that he saw with his eyes was actually completely different. The reason he was buying it and where he was going, and the whole thing was completely different. So this is the Mishnah Kinelach. If you see something happening, and you really don't know exactly what's happening, only you're thinking, oi, this is terrible. Don't think that way. Think, and then until you find out for sure, think, look at, maybe my friend is doing this for a good reason. Maybe he's actually doing something good. Don't judge a person in Chas Shalom a bad way if you don't know. Now, the reward for this kinelach is that if you go around always judging people in a good way, when Hashem looks at you doing something, you know how Hashem is going to judge you? Also in a good way. If you're going to look at somebody and say, you know, the reason they did that, you know, it wasn't terrible. They're doing something good. Kinelach, that helps that Hashem is not going to look on you, Chas Shalom, in not a nice way. He's also going to look at you in a nice way and what you're doing. One day, Rabbi Akiva and another tzaddik went to a town to collect stucket. Not only Rabbi Akiva learned Torah and he taught his Talmidim, but he helped by collecting stucket, money for poor people. And they came to the town and they saw a big, beautiful house. And there was a mezuzah on the door. Ooh, a gvir, a rich yid. Hopefully he'll give a lot of money for tzedakah. Let's go over to this big, beautiful house and knock on the door. And they walk up to the house and they knock on the door. And they're waiting for somebody to come and open the door. And they hear inside two people are talking. It must be that they didn't hear because they're talking. Now, they hear these words. They hear these words being said. Father. Yes, son. It's almost time for supper. And we don't seem to have food in the house. I'll go to the marketplace and buy food. What should I buy? Well, son, why don't you buy vegetables? Okay, father, but there's two kinds of vegetables in the marketplace. One kind is very beautiful, fresh, delicious, juicy vegetables, and they're a little bit more expensive. And the other kind are a little bit older, not so fresh and not so juicy and delicious vegetables that are kind of dry, but you could also eat them. And they're cheaper. Which one should I buy, Father? There's the helicopter again. And the father says, son, buy the cheaper vegetables that are not so delicious and not so juicy and not so beautiful, but they're cheaper. Akinalach, Rabbi Akiva, and the other tzaddik heard this. They couldn't help hearing it. They were just standing there. And they thought to themselves, in such a big, beautiful house, that a rich man must be in this house, you would expect that, you know, they're going to get flesh for supper, meat, or fish, or chicken, or something, you know, very good. So first of all, he says, nothing like that, don't get into that kind of thing, just get vegetables. And not only just get vegetables, get the cheapest kind. Not even fresh, delicious, juicy vegetables. Get older, cheaper, not so delicious vegetables. It must be in this house, they're very, very, maybe even stingy. They don't like to spend money. You know, some people, even very rich people, they don't want to spend money. They're afraid on even a penny. And Rabbi Akiva and his friend thought, maybe these people will not give so much tzedakah. Maybe we should go other places first, and maybe not even come back. Or if we come back, we'll come back last, because we don't really know if we'll get so much tzedakah from this person. He's so careful with even the food that he eats. And they left. And they went around the town collecting tzedakah from other people. They didn't get so much, so they still needed more. And on the way leaving the town, they passed by the big, beautiful, nice house again. And they thought to themselves, should we stop here and try again or not? And they said, look, we might as well try. After all, we'll give him the chance to give something. And even if it's not so much, well, it's going to add to what we have. And all of a sudden, they saw the door open. And the man of the house is coming out, and he starts working in the yard. Look, he's outside. That must be the man who owns the house. Let's go ask him to give tzedakah. After all, he's outside. We don't even have to knock this time. And they walk over to the man in the yard, and they say, excuse me, we're collecting tzedakah. Could you please give us some money for tzedakah? And the man says, well, I'm outside working already, but my wife is inside. Why don't you go into the house, and you could ask my wife for a bag of golden coins, and she'll give it to you. Just tell her that I said it's okay to give a bag of golden coins. And he said, thank you very much. They were so surprised. He wants to give a bag of golden coins. And they knock on the door, and one of the servants lets them in, and they go into the kitchen where the man's wife was in the kitchen, and they tell her, your husband is outside, and he said we should come in because we're collecting tzedakah, and he said that you should give us a bag of golden coins. And she smiled very nicely and she said, oh, of course, I'll be very happy to do that, to give you tzedakah. Now, did my husband tell what kind of a bag to give? Should it be a little bag or a big bag? Well, he didn't say, he just said a bag. And she said, you know what? I'm going to give you a big bag of golden coins. I'm going to fill it up to the very top, up to the tippy top. And in case my husband will be upset, so I will take the money that he thinks is extra, and I'll pay him out of my own money, because I have my own money too. Not only my husband's money that he works, but even my own money. So if he feels I gave you too much, I will pay it from my own money. And she took out a big bag, and she went to their place where they kept the money, and she filled it up with golden coins up to the tippy top until you couldn't even put one more golden coin in, and she gave them the bag of golden coins. And in Kinnelach, so she gave the big bag of gold all the way to the tippy top, and then Rabbi Akiva and the other tzaddik, they went out of the kitchen, and they go out into the yard, and they want to say goodbye to the man. And by the way, his name was Barbuchin. And they said, thank you very much. Your wife gave us a bag of gold. And they said, the thing was that you really didn't say how big was the bag and how much gold. And Barbuchin said, so how much did my wife give you? Well, she gave us a big bag, and she filled it up. And she said, in case you're upset, she'll pay you back out of her own money. And the man smiled, Barbuchin smiled, and he was very happy. And he says, I'm very happy that my wife gave you a big bag of gold. She's a good woman, And I'm so glad that she gave you a big bag for the mitzvah of tzedakah. Mekinelach, Rabbi Akiva and his friend asked him, if you were so nice to us and gave us so much money for tzedakah, you know, the reason we didn't stop the other day, as Barbukhin asked them, how come you're coming here on the way out of the town? My house is the first one. Why didn't you stop here the first? And they told him, we did stop. And we knocked on the door, and you were talking with your son, and we heard that you were talking about buying vegetables. And not only the best vegetables, the cheapest, the old ones, the dry ones. And we figured that if you did not want to spend money, even for food, maybe you would not want to give us tzedakah, or maybe you give us very little. So we decided to go on. And Barbukhin said, there is the main thing, and there is the thing that helps the main thing. Kenelach, we have a neshama, and we have a body, right? What's the main thing? Your neshama or your body? What's the main thing? The main thing is your neshama. The body is only like a package for the neshama. Like when you go to buy, you see this milk? I'm holding up a container of milk. There's the plastic container and there's the milk. What's the main thing? The main thing is the milk. But if you go to the store and you say to the man, I want milk, and there's no container for it, how will you get the milk home? You're going to carry it in your hands, a bunch of milk? It's going to spill. Okay, so you have to have the keli, you have to have the bottle, but the main thing is the milk. The bottle is only that you should be able to get to the milk. Now what would happen if you came home and you spilled out the milk and you start eating the container? Does that make sense? To throw away the main thing and eat the container? Now, Kenelach, Barbukhin said, some people, they forget about the main thing, the neshama, and they make a big deal out of the body, which the body is like the container. He said, to spend a lot of money on food, which is for the body, we don't have to. We can get along just with vegetables, and our body will be fine and healthy. But when it comes to the neshama, Kenelach, it's stuck it connected more with the body or with doing a mitzvah with your neshama. When it comes to the neshama, we want to do it the best way. And for a mitzvah, we spend as much money as we can, because that's the main thing. And Kenelach, a chassid of the Baal Shem Tov, used to go every single day to the mikveh before davening. Now, what was the mikveh? In that time, he went to a big lake out in the country. It wasn't a mikveh, a nice warm mikveh in a house, you know, and it's warmed up with showers. He used to toivel himself in a lake out in the woods, in the mountains. And every morning he used to go early and use that lake like a mikveh. Now, close by, there lived a goyish shepherd who used to have his shepselech in the field, and he would be close by in the fields. And every morning he would see this yid go behind the rocks and go into the lake. And the yid also saw the shepherd watching him once in a while, but he said, you know, what should I do? He has his shepselech in that field, and I go over here behind the rocks into the lake to the mikveh. And, you know, if he wants to see what I'm doing, I mean, what's the big deal? He probably thinks I'm swimming or something. Now, in the summertime, when it was nice and hot,
He thinks probably the goy thinks, I'm swimming. In the springtime when it's nice weather, you know, he probably thinks, I'm going swimming. But he used to go even in the winter, in the coldest winter, when the lake froze over and he had to cut through the ice to go into the mikveh. And Taka, some people used to have such mesiras nefesh, they would cut through... they cut through the ice and they toivel themselves in the mikveh, and they didn't come out into a nice warm place with a nice towel and, you know, everything is nice and dry, so they only have to go in for a second. Who, by the way, ever went into the Arizal's mikveh in Sfas? You know, it's freezing, but you get out into a pretty normal place, especially if you go in the summer. And you warm up. No, he came out from the river, from the lake, into the snow and the ice. But he still did it. Now this guy also used to watch him go in the winter time. And one time, on a very freezing day, after he cut through the ice, the shepherd came over to the yid, and he says, "Can I ask you a question? How come every single day you go into this lake? Why is that?" Well, the yid says, "You know, I'm just going swimming, you know. I mean, a person likes to go swimming, right?" And the guy shakes his head, "You're not going swimming. You're going to the mikveh." "I know." "Oh," the yid says, you know, he thought that, what's he going to do? He's going to start explaining to this shepherd about the mikveh. It's a shepherd, it's a goy. And all of a sudden the shepherd says, "I know what you're doing. You're going to the mikveh." And the yid says, "Well, how do you know it's a mikveh? Hey, how do you know what it is anyway?" He says, "I know. And I know why you're going to the mikveh." "Why?" "Because the Baal Shem Tov said it's a very halakha thing, right?" Now this yid is wondering, how does a goyish shepherd know, first of all, about a mikveh, and then about the Baal Shem Tov? He says, "How do you know about these things?" The shepherd says, "All I know is that my grandfather was very upset at the Baal Shem Tov." "Why?" the yid says. He says, "My grandfather used to be a very great witch and a magician. A witch and a magician. He knew, you know, not magic tricks, like a circus magic trick, but some, you know, very serious kind of magic and witch things. And his grandfather used to be one of these big witches and special magic people." And he said, the grandfather told the shepherd, he says, "One time, when I went to do my witch things and my magic things, all of a sudden, my powers were taken away. I had no powers. I took my magic wands, they wouldn't work. Hey, what's wrong?" "What's wrong? It's broken." He took his magic crystal balls and he looked inside. He couldn't see any pictures. "Hey, what's wrong with my crystal ball? It wouldn't work." He went to his magic boiling pot of magic juice boiling over there, and he starts to say magic words, and nothing happened. In one day, everything like broke. He tried to make this kind of a magic thing and that kind of a magic thing with all of his magic stuff. Nothing worked. And he called a meeting of his fellow witches and magic men, and they had the same problem. All of them had the same problem. And they found out, I don't know how they found out this, but they found out that the troublemaker was a Jew, a tzaddik, named the Baal Shem Tov, and he had made such a thing for his chassidim that they should start to go to the mikveh before davening every day. And because of this thing, that a person goes into the mikveh to make himself halak for davening, this took away This took away the powers of all the witches and magicians. From that day on, they never had powers anymore. And they had to get rid of their magic costumes and their witch hats and their magic wands and their boiling pots. And they had to get other jobs. Maybe they went to work in the gas station. I don't know what they did. And so this is why the shepherd was interested in this yid every day going to the mikveh, because he took away his grandfather's powers and such people like him, and there was no more witches around and no more troublemaker magic men, because all their koiches were taken away from them. From what? From Yidden going to the mikveh before davening. So you see, Kinalaf, sometimes you do a mitzvah or you do an inyan for Hashem. We don't even know the far-reaching kinds of effects that happens from it.